The only reason that I'm drawing water here at the well at noon is so that I can be alone. It's the custom in our culture for women to be drawing water at the community well in the evening after the day's work and before supper. That way, the women can gossip and catch up with the latest news. The last thing I want to be is another source of gossip. I have been embarrassed enough. I know that I'm an outcast and I'm not accepted by the other women, so I just try to avoid them. I don't mind coming here to the well in the heat of the day to draw water. That way I don't have to see their looks of disapproval and hear their insults. Then I see him.
I am thirsty. What a hot day it has been. I'm so glad that me and my friends have made it as far as Sychar. This place was called Shechem for centuries. The patriarch Jacob dug a well here and gave this land to Joseph when he was on his deathbed, and eventually Joseph's body was buried here. And so this is a holy place for my people. But most of us never pass by today because it's in Samaria. Jews and Samaritans have long been enemies. And yet my Father loves all of us, no matter who we are or what we've done. My friends have gone into town to get food, but I am thirsty and I don't even have a bucket. But a woman is coming here at high noon to draw water in the heat of the day. Woman, give me a drink.
I can tell he's a Jew by the horizontal stripping on both ends of his prayer shawl. And then there is his Galilean accent. For the life of me, I don't know why he's here at the well at Sychar. I suspect he's traveling between Judea and Galilee because Samaria, our land, is right in the middle between both of them. But Jews and Samaritans are enemies. We don't have anything to do with each other. The Jews believe we're impure and unclean because we intermarried with foreign captors centuries before, and we don't worship the same prophets as the Jews do, so we're half-Jews, outcasts of the faith. Most Jews won't even step foot in Samaria if they have to go between Judea and Galilee. No, they'll travel east. They'll cross the Jordan River, and they'll go through the desert. It takes 3 extra days to get to Judea. Oh, well, maybe this man is in a hurry to get to his destination. All I know is that he's a man and a Jew. I'm a woman and a Samaritan, and we're not supposed to be talking to one another. How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a Samaritan woman?
Naturally, this woman is astonished that I'm even talking to her because she has 3 strikes against her. First, she is a Samaritan. Jews and Samaritans have nothing to do with one another. And secondly, she is a woman, and Jewish men are not allowed to speak with women, particularly unescorted women. And third, she has been married 5 times, and the man with whom she's currently living is not her husband. Jews are normally allowed to marry only 3 times, so believe me, this woman is living on the edge. But I see something in her that intrigues me. She is spunky, she is determined, she has spirit. And so I decide to invite this woman into deeper conversation. If you knew the gift of God and the one who was speaking to you, saying, "Give to me a drink of water," you would ask me for water, and I would give you living water.
From behind my veil, I'm watching this man. There's something different about him. Normally, men take me and use me for what they want, and then they discard me. I don't think I've ever had a regular conversation with a man who respects me as a person, rather than as a thing to be owned or coerced or manipulated. He talks about living water. What could he mean? After all, water is a precious commodity in our part of the world. I thought I was familiar with every well in Samaria. But go figure, he doesn't even have a bucket. How is he going to draw water? Where do you get this living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob who gave us this well?
Clearly, she's perplexed. But I keep on because I can tell that she's spiritually thirsty. I know that she is not happy with her life as it is. I know that she is destined for more. Everyone who drinks of this well will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I can give them will never be thirsty again. The water that I give will become in them like a spring of water gushing up into eternal life.
Something stirs inside me. I think about all the times I have come to this well to draw water. Backbreaking, lonely work it is, and I have to come at odd times of the day so that I'm not around to witness other people condemning me. Maybe this living water is exactly what I need. Sir, give me this water so that I may never thirst again or have to keep coming to this well.
This woman, she has enthusiasm, but she still does not understand. She does not see. She thinks of me only in terms of her physical thirst and in terms of physical water. She does not know what she's really asking for or of whom she is asking it. But at least she's talking with me. She's searching for something. She just doesn't know what. This is difficult, but I think that there's only one way that I can really convince this woman who I am. Woman, go call your husband, and then come back and speak with me.
How dare this man invade my privacy? I can't believe that I was actually beginning to trust him. He knows that I can't receive any gift without the consent of my husband. I have no husband, I say sharply. I think it's time to go.
You are right in saying that you have no husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and the man with whom you are living now is not your husband.
All right. He wins. There's no way he could know that I've had 5 husbands unless he were some sort of prophet. I tell you, there is something different about this man. And here's the odd thing. He talks matter-of-factly about my lifestyle, but he makes no judgment about me. Sir, I see that you're a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mount, but you say that the place people must worship is Jerusalem.
She's beginning to see. She's beginning to understand. She raises one of the key theological issues between Jews and Samaritans. That is, where is the right place to worship? Mount Gerizim to the north, where the Samaritans worship, or Mount Zion in Jerusalem, where the Jews worship? Perhaps I can help to move her understanding beyond either Gerizim or Jerusalem to understand that true worship is not bound by any time or place. When we worship God in spirit and in truth, Jews and Samaritans can meet on the new common ground of belief in me. Woman, believe me when I tell you that the time is coming, and now is, when we will neither worship on Gerizim or Zion, but we will worship in spirit and in truth.
This man is not assuming that because I'm a Samaritan woman, I can't understand theological matters. He's talking to me about things the rabbis discuss. Sir, I know that the Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us.
I am he. The one who is speaking to you is the Messiah.
My mouth drops open. I can't believe what he just said. This man? The Messiah? I don't even have time to process his words because just then his followers come back from town and I can see they're disturbed by the fact that this man is talking to me. But to their credit, they don't say a word, and Jesus is silent as well. He gives no explanation. I offer him a cup of cool water. He drinks deeply. I wish I had more time with this man. I'm just beginning to figure out what his revelation might mean to me and to my people and to the world. But there are his friends, his followers, looking at me disapprovingly. After all, I'm still a woman and a Samaritan, and he's still a man and a Jew. What this man has given me, however, sends me running back into the city with my jar. I just can't keep it to myself. And no, I'm not searching for another lover. I am searching for all those who are as desperate for living water as I was. I shout out to anyone who would hear, "Come, see a man who has told me everything that I have ever done. He can't be the Messiah, can he?"
When my followers came upon me, they were astonished that I was speaking with a woman, an unescorted woman. I was breaking all the taboos of our time. And now my friends and I are sitting around the well, and I'm trying to teach them that, and we are eating and resting when a group of Samaritans come running from the village to the well. Evidently, this woman has been quite a witness, for they asked me to stay in their village for a few days and to teach them. I imagine that they've never taken this woman seriously in all of her life before, but now there's something about her fervent testimony that stirs their hearts.
These several days have been like a dream. I have learned so much from this man whose name is Jesus. He welcomes all people to come and hear him teach, not only women, but children and outcasts and the sick and the poor. He tells us that we've got to learn how to forgive one another, to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. He says that we shouldn't judge one another. And he says that we need to take up our cross and follow him on the way. I was willing to follow him the moment I saw him at the well.
These 2 days have been a blessing to me and to my followers as well. Remember, they did not want to travel through Samaria. They did not want to stay in Samaria. But it has been good for them. All of my teaching about accepting people who are different was alien to them because they only knew their own people. But now they're in the midst of those people that they regarded as their blood enemies. Now they're forced to live out what they claim to believe. And I'm proud of them. They've even become friends with the Samaritans.
I admit, I hadn't been living a very spiritual life. That's why I was so astonished when Jesus chose me. He said that God's love is for all people, unconditionally, especially sinners. Now I know that there is hope for me. Now I believe that I have the power to change my life with God's help. I didn't like who I'd become. I knew that something was missing. But now all the puzzle pieces are coming together. Jesus taught us that the kingdom of God has nothing to do with who we are or who we know or what we know or how ethnically pure we are or where we worship or what status we have. God's kingdom comes when we move beyond differences to love and accept and serve all people. That's how we worship in spirit and truth.
I've shared some of the deepest truths of my ministry with this jaded, adulterous Samaritan woman, isolated, ostracized from her community. I see her hunger and thirst for a different life. It's exciting and fulfilling to watch her eagerness to learn, and it certainly is challenging to answer all of her questions. I have to say, I've had more success in this little town in 2 days than I have had in all of my time in Jerusalem. So many people are coming to believe because of her witness and my teaching. I remember them saying to this woman, "It is no longer because of you and of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this truly is the Son of God." Such a compliment. She never wants people to look just at her. She's always pointing beyond herself to me.
What about you? When Jesus offers you living water, how do you respond? Are you willing to be known by God, who invites you to be a follower along the way? Will you open your hands and allow God's name to be written not only on your hands, but on your lips and in your heart? Will you drink that living water that is the only way to quench the thirsting of your soul? Will you worship in spirit and truth, casting aside all of your misconceptions about who is or isn't worthy?
It's difficult to accept that your past can be redeemed, that you do not need to hide any part of yourself from me, that you can move beyond cultural taboos, you can learn one another's truths. It is not easy to accept the fact that you don't have to have all of the answers, and you do not need to do it all. All you have to do is drink deeply and allow my cool, refreshing water to spill into your heart and into your soul.
Close your eyes for a moment. Imagine that you are walking on a dusty road.
The sun is hot. The air is dry. You've been walking all morning. You're tired, thirsty. Your mouth is dry and parched, but you have far to go and many things to do.
As you draw near, you hear water gurgling. You pick up your pace and you sense a presence beside you.
My spirit is here, waiting for you to share yourself.
What is the most important question in your life this morning?
Can you ask the significant question of me this morning and wait for the beginning of an answer and determine that you will follow in my way?
What part of you needs to be known by a loving God?
Can you open yourself to me? What truth are you willing to know about yourself?
Rest for a moment in the loving acceptance and joy that your willingness brings. Then go to the water. Cup your hands and fill them with cool water. Drink deeply.
This is the inner spring always welling up. Claim my promise as the proclamation of your life, and follow in my way.
All who hunger, gather gladly. Holy manna is our bread. Come from wilderness and wandering, here is truth. Taste and